Okay, again, my name is Martez and I'm an addict. This is Relationships and Recovery, and my sponsor has told me over and over again that this is the hardest area for him. And I'm finding out that it's the hardest area for me too. So I look forward to hearing some good stuff. We have two speakers today, and the first speaker up is Cindy. Come on down.
Cindy, I'm an addict.
It's like really close.
I'm going to try real hard to stay right here, but I like to move around a lot, get a lot of energy, you know, when I move out of the way. I'm real grateful to be here, right? I want to thank the committee for asking me to come share my experience, strength, and hope. And remember that when this is done, you cannot put me out because you invited me. You know, I always like to get a few things out of the way because this is what I know about the disease that I have, because you got to get to know your disease, right? Like, you got to get to know what you're suffering from. And so what I've learned about my disease is that, like, when any time I get ready to share, I start hearing the things in my head that says, you don't have a message. Yeah. You ain't really been doing the work lately, so you ain't really got shit to say, right? You need to get up at 7:30 so you can put on a full face. Right, because I don't know about y'all, but I have never had on makeup this fucking early. It's not what I do, but here, this is what I suffer from, right? I suffer from inadequacy and insecurity, right? And I'm talking about right now my relationship with myself, because, see, there's a lot of pressure on me right now. I need to expose that. Because I've been coming in and out of the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous for a long time. I've done workshops, right? And the person that I'm doing the workshop with today, he's been in many workshops that I've been in, but we've never done a workshop together.
Come on now.
Right? So, I got people telling me this weekend, I'm ready for that workshop, right? Relationships in recovery. I just got in a new relationship, so I'm ready for that workshop. Because, see, people, we assume, because I assumed that when I got here, the only type of relationship was a romantic relationship, right? But the meat and potatoes and the dessert, right? Because our literature talked about that. The speaker last night said that for a long time it was out of the basic text, relationships can be a painful area. And they can. But they can also bring the most joy, right? And so I've been feeling a lot of pressure about this workshop. What am I going to say? Am I going to go in there and spill all of our fucking dirt, right? What is that going to look like? And this is what I can say, right? Every relationship that I have been in, every relationship has the same pattern, right? It has the same pattern. And I struggle with communication, and I struggle with showing up. And anything that I say today, if he does come up, you need to understand that this is my experience. This has nothing to do with him, right? This is my personal experience, and I keep the focus on me. And it doesn't matter what he did in the relationship, hasn't done, what I've done, what I haven't done, because what we need to understand is that we're dealing with people that are trying to get better just for today, right? This is what I'll say about the relationship. We've worn many hats in this relationship, right? I've been in some type of relationship with this man since 2008. I've wore the hat of prostitution ship. I've wore the hat of fuck ship with him. I've wore the hat of friendship with him. I've wore the hat of romantic relationship with him. Some type of hat has been worn for a long time, right? And we're currently going through another transition that we don't know what that looks like. We don't know if it's a transition out or a transition in. Right? But what we both know is that we work a program of Narcotics Anonymous, and whatever that transition looks like, the God of our understanding has got us. Right? And we're going to be okay, no matter what that looks like. Relationships are not easy. Listen, I see people in relationships with people that are like normies, right? What they call normies, people that are not one of us, right? And I don't know how a motherfucker could deal with me. Like, they can't apply open-mindedness to me if they're not practicing a program, is what my head says, right? And it's not been easy being in this relationship. I think it's important to point out that there is a gap in clean time with he and I. I have 8 years, and he has 25 years, right? And so I spent a lot of this relationship trying to catch up. I want to catch up to, like, where he's at. I need to be where he's at, right? Like, I need to look how he looks. Because, see, we come in here and we think we got to get famous, Right? We're the power couple of Narcotics Anonymous. Power couple up in this motherfucker, right? Because everybody's ready to hear us share, but Shane, none of y'all been in the house, right? When there's been physical abuse, there's been verbal abuse, there's been infidelity, there's been relapse, right? Are you willing to go through what you got to get through? Like what you got to go through to get to where it is that we're at? Are you willing to do that? Because everybody wants to be in a relationship. I needed a relationship when I got clean, right? And my sponsor was like, go ahead. Go ahead. Get on in there and tell me how it works out for you. I remember saying to her about this specific person, we just gonna have sex. She's letting me know how that works out. Right? I've never had a sponsor tell me what to do. My sponsors support me in whatever decision I make. See, as a sponsor, like, it's really important to lay out all the things that could happen. Because we don't always know what the end result would be, what the consequences could be, right? So my sponsor will always lay out the options. And then she'll say, let me know how it turns out. And just know that whatever you choose, I'm going to be right here to walk you through that, right? And so I remember, y'all see how that turned out. We was just going to have sex. Here we are all these years later trying to figure it the fuck out. Still, man. Right? Like, I didn't come into no relationship. I ain't been in no fucking relationship where I knew what to do. Listen, this is my first relationship clean. It's been my only relationship clean. Right? I made it back to Narcotics Anonymous after some years of a run back in 2011, right? And again, please hear me say that we are people that are suffering in different areas. Right? Where he had done a lot of work in a lot of areas, I hadn't done that work. He still suffered from his own areas. Like, nobody's saying that we were all perfect, right? But I hadn't done the work. And I am a hot fucking mess on any given day. Right? Like, I'm not confused about who I am as a person. I'm not confused about what I bring to the table. Right? Like, I'm not confused that I bring chaos, confusion. I brought all those things to the table. Screaming, yelling, cussing, physical abuse. I'm not confused about who I am because I've done the work. And it's only through step work and sponsorship and network and this program and prayer and the God of my understanding that I'm able to see those things about myself. Thank God for the awareness, right? Like, thank God for the work, because I've come into the program and I've white-knuckled some clean time. I've white-knuckled it. I've sat down and I've just held on for dear fucking life, man, and I've white-knuckled it. But in here, man, in here I wasn't changing, right? And it wasn't until I relapsed in 2016 that I was like, I can't do it anymore. Like, I gotta do whatever y'all tell me to do, man. If you tell me to stand in the corner on my fucking head, I will do that, finally. Because I wasn't willing to do that before. I'm talking about not just doing, I got a sponsor and her name is Val, right? I'm talking about calling her.
Yes.
I'm talking about picking up the phone and calling people when it's real fucking uncomfortable, because the literature talks about in Living Clean, right? That, like, this is it. There is not a step or a tradition that does not involve relationships. Yes, and I'm not going to sit up here and act like I remember the literature, but I read that shit. I mainly just brought this to look good. So y'all think I know what I'm talking about, right? I got an image to keep up. Still, sometimes. Right? So I suffer in all these areas, man, and there's a lot of work that goes into this shit. And the relationships are the most painful for me, and they bring the most joy. You know what I'm saying? When in 2016, when I made a decision to use, I'm going to tell you why I made that decision. Because I think it's important that you see how we get to where we're going when we're relapsing, because the speaker said it last night. Some people in here don't know that they're headed for a relapse. They can't see it. They're in denial, right? I stopped doing the work, and I was so codependent, right? Like, I had to, there was infidelity in the relationship, right? So what that did for me was, I don't know what it's like to be in a relationship and not be cheated on. Now, I'm a crybaby, and I'm all right with that. Because it makes me sad for myself to not know what it's like to fully 100% trust a man and what that looks like, right? And we're talking about the current relationship, and that's okay because that's my experience. But what I chose to do was stay in the relationship. And I was so locked and loaded on who's on your phone. Wait until you get in the shower and get in your phone and check in your phone, right? Doing the drive-bys if I knew where the job site was. Because see, we get real tricked in here. The infidelity happened when he was at work. He owned his own business. So I need to know where the job site is. I need to know how much money you got paid on the job. I need to know what time you're going to the job and when you're going to be back. But check this out. After doing some work, what I understand is there is no fucking way I would live like that today. But I meant that we was going to live like that because I couldn't, right? I had no self-esteem, man. I was insecure. And I still on any given day feel that same shit, but it's better. Right? We don't get perfect. It's a process, man. We get better. Like, the moments that I have those are fewer and further between. And if I'm real honest, it's usually just when it's about to be that time of the month. I'm like, oh, shit's going down in here. Like, it's about to go down. But I'm aware of that about myself. See, like, my sponsor has taught me to, like, keep up with that shit. I wasn't keeping up with that shit out there. Keep up with that shit. Be aware of yourself. You gotta have awareness so you know what's coming. Because I will sneak up on myself. And you will too. Right? So I relapsed back in 2016 because I wasn't willing to do the work. I was only willing to focus on him. And I'm not even gonna sit here and act like it got better at that point. I still acted like a fool, but I got a sponsor. I started doing the work. I started making meetings, right? I did all the things, and I started getting better. Now, we're going to fast forward because what happened in that process is I kept acting a fool. He put me out of the house. I ended up living on my own. It was the greatest thing that I'd done for myself, right? I got my greatest growth sitting with myself and God, right? And then the time came, and I moved back in the house last year. Year before last. And something happened. I'm still not real sure what that something is. I know that I was triggered repeatedly. I know that my spirit was up, like in upheaval. I was in turmoil all the time, right? I wasn't settled. The living situation was different. I had gotten accustomed to being on my own so well that now that I wasn't, I was all fucked up, right? We can do too much of anything. Understand that. We can do too much of anything. Isolation, you know what I mean? Being in the middle of the fucking crowd. Like, we can do too much of any fucking thing. I made a decision because here's what happens when you do the work, right? You see you. And what I saw was that even though we had been through all that shit, man, he progressively changed. I progressively changed. The program will change you. But what I realized was that I wasn't bringing to the table what needed to be brought to the table anymore. I was not stepping up to the plate in the relationship. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to blame folks. And I want to be like, well, if you wouldn't have cheated on me back in 1999, and I like to blame shit, right? Don't get me wrong. The damage was done to me, and it's not just about the infidelity and the relapse that I done and the pain that I caused. It was an ongoing thing, right? But to stand up and say, I cannot fulfill your sexual needs because I do not have the desire, right?
Come on now.
Because see, my head says if I don't give it to him, she will. And she probably will, right? But listen, I can't, like, when I'm focused on myself, man, like, I got to see what kind of harm I'm causing somebody. And I've struggled in the sexual area for a long time. I'm a woman with a lot of sexual trauma, man. I come from a long line of sexual trauma, right? I haven't not tried to take care of that shit. I'm talking about my relationship with myself right now. Because see, you got to know you before you can just start taking anybody to a relationship. You can do it, but you about to go through some shit.
Come on, share.
So I've been like going to therapy and I'm trying to address sexual trauma. And I'm going to the doctor because like something's got to be wrong with me, man. And check this out. There's nothing wrong with me. Right. I have resentment, I have anger, I have fear, and it's not that I'm hanging on, right? It's not that I'm throwing up people's past in their face or none of that shit, man, but it's there. And I can't make it not be there. So in the relationship, it was a repeated trigger. I would heal a little bit, and then the wound would be open again. I'm talking about the work and like me being able to identify exactly what was going on in the home. So I would have sex anyway. Even though I didn't have the desire to, and I would open the fucking sexual trauma back up. And I would have sex anyway, and I would open it back up. Oh, he bought you something, you gotta have sex today. I would mentally prepare myself with, and then it's not like I haven't been transparent. And him, he lived there. Hell, he knows what the fuck was going down, right? So I'm not sharing any surprises today. He's not getting any like, oh shits, right? But I'm sharing about what the type shit we suffer from when we come in here, man. When we come in here. So I kept doing the fucking work, man, and what I found out is that there is nothing wrong with me. I still got a whole lot of healing to do. And I truly believe that the God of my understanding is going to heal me in that area too.
Come on.
I know that because my sponsor reminds me all the time that on 10-4-16, I did not know I was going to get clean and stay clean. And that was a miracle. That was not the plan, right? And here I am still clean today. And so I know that the God of my understanding, I've seen miracles happen. Now, I need to say this right here because I know that we on time limit and things like this. That's the relationship about him. There it is, in a nutshell. But today I'm struggling with a whole different relationship, right? And that's the relationship with my daughter. Because see, it's not just about romantic relationships, man. Like, we caused some fucking harm to some people. And our kids was one of them. Right? And I think because I got 8 years clean, she needs to be forgiving and she needs to love me and everything is good and everything's all right, right? So I move out of the house with him. When my spirit told me to go, I went, right? We had the conversation. I got honest about it. I moved out. I got my own place. And my daughter has 5 children. I have 3 kids, all of them in my life. I lost every one of them, and one of them went home from the hospital with a completely different family, but only because God and this program, all of them are in my life. That doesn't mean that I was promised that when I decided to get clean, because that don't always happen for everybody, right? That's just one of the many gifts of recovery. And I'm grateful that I've been given that gift. But I moved out and I moved to from Nashville to a little city called Clarksville, big city, whatever. And I moved there because 2 of my grandsons was living with the other grandmother. And I was like, there's no reason that you can't go help. So I did. But let me tell you what happened. I get there and I'm helping and all of a sudden the grandmother loses her shit. She drops the kids off and they're there full time. Days later, no, actually my daughter showed up first with her other 3 kids. She's homeless, ain't got nowhere to go. On my doorstep. So now we got 2 adults, 5 kids living in a 2 bedroom, a big one, thank God. And I went from what I thought I was about to get some peace, right? Let me just be honest. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get back by myself and like, this is what we're going to do and all these fucking things, right? No. And so my daughter moves in with her issues, right? And her issues, because see, out of sight, out of mind. Like, I can deal with my daughter from a distance. Like, that's cool. We can talk about some shit from a distance. I can deal with her. Like, it's cool. But God said, no, you need to deal with your issues now. I'm not confused about the assignment, right? I'm not confused about the assignment. And there was many assignments within this one move. There was many assignments in that. Not only that, but her kids get on my fucking nerves. I would never say this to my daughter, but she's a petty bitch, right? I've not ever said that to her. I've just grown and I don't say that shit today, right? Me and my daughter are the ones, like, she gets that mouth going and I'm like, if you was a bitch on the streets, my girl, and I've said that to her, don't run up on me like that again. I will handle your ass like I have been. Like, I'm talking about that type of toxic relationship. She has not changed, but I have changed. So I bring something different to the table. But what has happened in these last several months is the old me is present. Okay. And I need to be honest about what the fuck I'm doing in my house, right? I can't worry about y'all judging me. I mean, I do, right? I do worry about what the fuck y'all think about me. That's the honest piece. But the courage in me says I gotta share it anyway because I gotta get free, right? And I don't know if anybody else is struggling in this area, but what I'm talking about is I'm in my home yelling and cussing and screaming at these 5 babies. And then I'm going to bed at night and I'm crying myself to sleep. Because I don't know how to handle what the fuck is happening in my home. It's out of my control. And still, with step work and clean time, I still have an issue with control.
Yeah.
I need everything to be okay. Me and my daughter be talking crazy to each other, man. We talk crazy to each other, and it hurts my heart. It hurts my heart. But I have to share the truth because I want to get freedom. Right? I just want us to be okay. I got a grandson that's ADHD, man. And man, he drives me fucking crazy. And I love him so much, but I'm talking about shut the fuck up. Like, I posted a thing the other day, but this is the truth about my house. It sounds like a fucking robbery when I'm putting kids to bed. Lay down, shut the fuck up. If you fucking move, I'm gonna pop your ass. And that is the truth. And it is funny to hear, but this is my truth. This is every single night them babies are going to bed like this, man. What kind of trauma am I inflicting on my grandkids?
Come on now. Come on now.
What am I oozing out on people in this motherfucker? We run around here trying to like do this, do that, and the third. What kind of harm are you causing to the person sitting next to you?
That's right.
Because it's real easy for me to come in here and be loving and caring with y'all. But then I go home and act a fucking fool. Y'all don't see that part, right? I look okay on the outside, but I am angry on the inside. I am mad all the fucking time. I've got rage going all the time. I don't know the difference between just practicing anger, which is healthy, and not including rage.
Come on, girl.
I don't know how to not punch the fucking wall or throw some shit or break it. I thought I did because I stopped doing that with him. But it was because it was out of my face. If you ain't got to practice these principles every fucking day, you ain't even acknowledging if you are or you're not.
Right, right.
So I don't practice these principles all the time, but then here's what happened, right? I found myself in a state of depression. Because here's what happened. The disease said you ain't practicing patience. You ain't practicing tolerance. You ain't practicing love. Like, you ain't doing the things the program is giving you. You are failing at the program of Narcotics Anonymous because it talks about practicing these principles in all our affairs. It don't make a fuck what y'all see. If this workshop, that workshop, in the fucking meeting, it makes a fuck what I'm doing in my home. And I'm causing harm, man. I'm causing long-term trauma to my grandkids. And I'm damn sure not helping my daughter get better. It don't matter what they do, man. See, what I know about this program is I used to hate it when I hear motherfuckers say, it starts with me and it ends with me. I hated that shit, but it is so true, man. It's the truest shit because it doesn't matter what she does. How am I reacting to it? Yeah. I got a choice. I respond or I react.
Yes, sir.
And I react 9 times out of 10. I got that one good day where I'll go in the room and I'll be like, I ain't gonna say nothing. I ain't gonna say nothing today. And then I'm sending a fucking text message from the other room. Because I gotta send that one text. And once I send the first one, we're locked and loaded. And now here we go. And then I'm coming out the room like all guns, right? All guns are drawn. We going at it. I'm sharing this because I know it sounds fucked up, right? Like, I got my kids back in my life. I got my grandkids that's never seen me fucking high, right? And I'm just fucking abusing them. And that's my truth. Regardless of what anybody else says, man, like, that's my truth because I'm still in a process of growing. And what I understand is that I have forgot that in the process of me telling myself that I'm failing, I am practicing generosity, right? I'm also practicing, I'm giving constantly. I'm providing a place for them to live, even though it may not be like the safest at the moment with all the yelling and screaming. But I'm giving I'm giving myself. I'm present in their life, right? And what I know about this, about the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, is this right here. What I know about the program of Narcotics Anonymous is that I'm not the same woman that I came in here, how I came in here them years ago. I'm not her. right? And I know that if I can get better in all these other areas, because I practice the 12 steps and I work the steps and I write and I tell the truth, if I come in here and I tell the truth, no matter how fucked up it is, I can get better. So I came in here and I shared the pain and the truth today because I just want to get better, right? And I know that I can. It's my responsibility. So what I've done is I've made the appointment for therapy to start brain spotting, to start doing things that I need to do so that I can heal some of those trauma wounds so that I can get better. Because I deserve better. They deserve better too, but I also deserve better. I've been hating myself for a long time, man, and I'm tired of hating myself in here. I just want to love me. Yeah. Right? And apparently I don't do that very good in relationships. So, thank y'all for letting me share. I'm really glad to be here.
That was absolutely awesome. Thank you, Cindy. Yes, that's the type of shit I need to hear. Yeah. Folks come in here and act like they're perfect. I'm not perfect. I got some shit going on. So I needed that. I needed that more than y'all know. We have another speaker coming up right now, but that was awesome. I got to say that again. I needed that. The next person that we have coming up, next sister coming up, is Carrie. Brother, I'm sorry. Don't whoop me. Don't whoop me.
Carrie and I'm a great recovering addict. Hey, God damn, it's a lot of y'all motherfuckers in here. Don't y'all got some, another area of y'all life that y'all suffer from? Good Lord. Wee. Man, it's getting hot in here. Boy, she brought the heat. I'm talking about, boy, she brought some heat, didn't she? I was like, damn. I said, damn, dog, you're going to have to be the cleanup man. God damn. Nigga, she brought the heat, didn't she? Ooh-wee. Man. Good Lord. Oof. You know, when Matt asked me to do this, you know what I'm saying, when he asked me and her to do this, we was in a good place. You know what I'm saying? And I brought my little shit. You know what I'm saying? And I probably will. I more than likely will read something out of this motherfucking literature, right? You know, and me, myself, personally, man, I didn't even think I was going to make it to the relationship part. I mean, the romantic part. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you know, to the romantic part, I was like, I might not even be able to make it there. You know what I'm saying? Because I've been clean. My clean date is 4/1/99, right? And like, I can count how many relationships I've been on in, committed relationships I've been in since I've been clean, and how many relationships I have had since I've been clean. I've been in like 10 relationships in 25 years, right? My first one was probably 10 years, right after rip, you know what I'm saying? For the simple fact that, you know, pussy is a drug. You know what I'm saying? You know, first, when we get clean, you know, the first thing we chase is, well, I'm gonna say I chase was money, pussy, and things right out the gate. You know what I'm saying? That's the, you know. You know what I'm saying? It was like, that shit had its own pulse. You know what I'm saying? You know, it had its own pulse. You know what I'm saying? Boom. Boom. It's like a sonar, like a radar. Boom. You know what I'm saying? And I'm, boom. Boom. You know what I'm saying? And man, I was trying to get back what I lost. Look,
My biggest problem, I think, now and then is that I just wanted to feel good. You know, because y'all motherfuckers told me that I had to surrender. You know what I'm saying? And with surrender comes abstinence. You know what I'm saying? And with abstinence comes grief, pain. Look, but I put the dope down. I put the dope down. This is what I'm telling myself. You put the dope down. You put the dope down. So now I felt useless, helpless, worthless, unwanted. I felt like a nothing. I felt like a nothing. Like I had no identity, no one. I was lost. I'm in a new land and I'm lost. It's like I'm on a new block. I'm on this new block and all of these predecessors are vibing and they talking about, you know what I'm saying, thoughts and ideas and attitudes and behaviors and, you know, something spiritual. And, you know, they're talking about all of this shit that has my attention, but I feel inadequate than a motherfucker. Yeah. I feel inadequate for two reasons. I feel inadequate because, guess what? I don't have the dope to make me feel all right. And I feel inadequate because I don't know what the fuck y'all talking about. They weren't talking about no honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, humility, and acceptance on the block. I wasn't talking about none of that shit. So I felt inadequate. I felt out of place.
Yeah.
So I needed boom, boom, boom. That pokes to like get me grounded and get me something, get me focused on something other than me. Because that's why I used to not feel. Yeah, that's why I used. I used initially because the shit that was going on in my household, I invented this person and I couldn't come back from the person that I invented. I couldn't come back. See, because what I know about addiction today, it is a family disease. See, my addiction started long before I picked up the dope.
Come on.
What? Long before it. You know, it started when I gave up my innocence. That's when my addiction started. I traded my innocence for a desire. I'm like, well, what the fuck you talking about? You know what I'm saying? I gave up my innocence. You know how the triangle self-session talks about, you know, we were all right and life was fine. We was carefree. You know, we didn't worry about shit. You know what I'm saying? I remember when I had an imagination and I could make something out of nothing. I could create. I could enjoy my own self. Y'all don't hear me. I can enjoy me. I was happy, look, joyous, and free.
That's right.
Yeah. I remember that. I remember when I was happy, joyous, and free. But then shit started to go down. Mama would come in drunk. Mama would stumble in the closet, fall in the commode, fall in the toilet, fall in the tub. Look at you. You look just like your daddy. You ain't gonna be nothing but just like your daddy. And then he would be high and a motherfucker wreck every car. See, every story has an origin story. Do you know your origin? See, because now I see the day that the principles of Narcotics Anonymous gives me superpowers. It makes me, it gives me the ability to defend myself against myself.
Come on.
This program said that if you want what we have to offer, look, but first I need to understand what the terms and conditions are if I'm going, you know, like nowadays they got everything that you do, they got terms and conditions, you know what I'm saying? And they say agree or not agree, you know what I'm saying? Now look, there are terms and conditions, right? If you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, you know what I'm saying? These are the steps that made our recovery possible. We suffer from a seemingly hopeless dilemma of mind, body, and spirit. Seemingly, which is spiritual in nature.
Come on.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the terms. Do you know the terms? Look, it also says in this basic text, it says that our common denominator is that we fail to come to terms with the disease of addiction.
Yeah.
Failed. So I'm going to fail in learning how to relate to myself. Look, it also says that we didn't come in here brimming with, you know what I'm saying, honesty, love, and hope. It says we come in here spiritually bankrupt. Have you ever swiped your card and it had in it inefficient funds? You had a whole cart full of groceries, you know what I'm saying? And you went up there and you swiped your card and it said, declined. And I'm like, oh, hold up. No, I know I got, wait a minute. Declined. No, run it again. Sir. 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 You don't have no money. For real. Huh? So now that every time that I put forth effort in areas of my life where I have been effortless, sir, 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 you have no acceptance. Sir, sir, you have no patience. Sir, sir, you have no open-mindedness. Sir, sir, you cannot be honest. Sir, the terms change. And they change at a rate of speed that, because what I know about the disease of addiction, that it moves faster than the speed of thought. So before I can even blink, you know, is that why they say don't give up 5 minutes? Because when I come around, they said don't give up 5 minutes before the meal wrap. And I'm like, well, what the fuck is the miracle? You know, because look. I had street smarts. I had book smarts. And like, I was just smart. Seriously. This your water. And she don't even like me half of the time. So I was smart. And I thought I had some spiritual sense. But the program changed everything. It told me that what I knew about life damn near killed me. No, I'm talking about the terms. I'm still on the terms. what I knew about life damn near killed me. And see, and then I had this cognitive dissonance when I got here. You know what I'm saying? See, because I done everything out of my subconscious, which where the disease resides at, you know what I'm saying? And I had no foresight on anything. Everything was in hindsight. So I lived, you know, we some backwards ass motherfuckers. That's what I'm saying. We some backwards ass motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? So I lived everything in reverse. Best way to explain it. You know what I'm saying? Because I was resentful. I was offended. Because the very people that were supposed to protect, love, and take care of me, they didn't.
Come on now.
They didn't. So when I got here, I felt abandoned, unappreciated, unloved. I felt all of that low self-esteem, low self-worth. I felt like shit when I got here. And then they told me, they said, we'll love you until you learn to love yourself. And I thought in my head, do I want y'all motherfucking love? Y'all love might be just like them other motherfuckers. The only love I really ever known was the dope. And without it, I felt hopeless. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I brought my literature. You know what I'm saying? I could talk about a whole lot of different shit because I can talk. You know what I'm saying? I can motherfucking talk. But then, you know.
Let's do this first.
Before I go there. No, I'm going to do this first. Right. Because look. You know, I could be the cleanup man. You know, and I can, you know. You know, because there's, you know, various, there's three sides to every story. You know what I'm saying? There's my perception, there's theirs perception, and then there's reality itself. And usually, you know, I was sitting there and she was sharing and I was sitting over there thinking that like, I was like, boy, she is bringing the motherfucking heat. You know what I'm saying? That's what the disease was saying. The disease was saying, she bringing the motherfucking heat. You gonna have to be the cleanup, man. I'm like, nah, dog, you got me fucked up. I ain't finna go clean nothing up. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? For the simple fact that, like, my recovery is my responsibility. You didn't hear me. I said my recovery is my responsibility. Yeah. And a lot of times around here, if y'all motherfuckers ain't worked a fucking a 7, 8, and a 9, y'all in trouble. You know what I'm saying? Because guess what? And in making any amends, the amends has to match the harm. Guess what? In front of all y'all, I'm safe. You know what I'm saying? Safe. You know what I'm saying? Keep coming back. If you don't understand that, keep coming back. Look. First, my first relationship began with our symbol. Right? That's where, you know, that's where my first relationship with Narcotics Anonymous started, with our symbol. Right? And if you ain't read our symbol, it says, simplicity is the key to our symbol. It emanates the simplicity of our fellowship. All sorts of
esoteric.
All sorts of cults and esoteric connotations can be found in its simple outlines. But for most in the minds of the fellowship are easily understood meanings and relationships. So I'm glad they got that. So in this symbol, right, our symbol, right, we got self, society, service, and God. Now, before I got here, I seen myself as nothing. I seen myself as nothing. I seen myself as nothing. I felt, self felt nothing. Self was worthless. Self was useless. Self was finding ways and means to get one more. Self had all of these strange habits and mannerisms. But then when I got here, they, you know, in Who's the Natty, they said, we know. Motherfucker, we know. But I tried to pretend. For real, they said, we know. Yeah. We know you ain't shit. You ain't gonna, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got a desire to do shit, but, you know what I'm saying? You just keep coming this, you know. And then they kind of like gave me, they kind of like fed me. The predecessors fed me. You know what I'm saying? Then it was time to get a job because I was broke. Society. But then I had all of this dogma about society. You know what I'm saying? And we were unemployable. Man, come on now. We were unemployable. I couldn't even fill out a resume because I had all of these different gaps in fucking going to jail and having jobs. You know what I'm saying? Yes. So that even made me feel worthless, helpless, and useless. And I would come in and I would hold the meeting hostage about how I can't find a job and how I can't, you know what I'm saying, and you know, nobody don't want to hire me. And a member would say, simply say, a member would simply say, just keep showing up and you'll get the right job. See, y'all had them slick, smooth, calm, you know what I'm saying, replies, and I'd be like, fuck you, motherfucker. And then another motherfucker would say it a different way, just keep doing the work. If you keep moving your feet, you will meet the right job. And then there was service. I first learned how to fucking just get to the meeting and make coffee, set up chairs. You know what I'm saying? Get to the meeting, make coffee, set up chairs, hug a few people. You know what I'm saying? Chair meeting. I'm talking about a relationship in recovery with the program. I'm talking about on this basic level that the program was doing for me that I didn't even know I was doing. It was teaching me some consistency and responsibility, and you know, it was kind of slick, you know what I'm saying, sliding it in me. Yeah. And then God, oh, I come in here with a relationship with God. You did? But, well, tell me how that worked when you was in the dope house. Tell me how it worked when you was in the dope house. Or when you was tricking, Carrie. What was loving and caring about that shit? Oh, yeah, I had a relationship with God. I'm like, all right, motherfucker, just keep coming back.
Yes, sir.
Seriously, though.
Yes, sir.
On a real tip. And I'm like, wow. I'll be like, that's interesting. You know what I'm saying? You know, because look, every time I went to jail, the first thing I did was pick up that other book and hold, you know what I'm saying, the congregation hostage about what the fuck I knew about God. Come on. And I'd be a quoting ass motherfucker. You know, it says over here and this and this and this and this and this.
That's right.
Seriously.
Yes.
Because the Living Clean says the only place we get, the only place that we get anything spiritual from is from those other organizations. So that's like my introduction. But then when y'all come in here and say this is a spiritual, not religious, oh, you mean I can't talk about the, I can't quote the other? Mm-hmm. I can't quote the other? Mm-hmm. But then you know how some of us, you know what I'm saying, brilliant addicts around here try to infuse it, you know what I'm saying, into a good shell. You know, we try to slide it on in there, you know what I'm saying, some type of way, you know what I'm saying? Huh? You know, to sway us, you know what I'm saying, to sway people, you know what I'm saying? In accordance with practice, look, what it say? It say, we are not concerned with theological eloquence. For real though, man, our program is descriptive, direct, and offensive. And then it's loving and caring. Seriously. Then it's loving and caring. Right? So basically, you know, my take on assembly is that, like, and this is the form of a relationship, it's like, this is my square.
Yeah, man. Yeah, come on.
I got a square. Yes. And it says the broader the base, the higher the point of freedom.
Come on.
So if I ain't got nothing, if I don't have the 12 steps, if I don't have patience, tolerance, if I don't have no principles in my square, I'm in trouble. If I don't have another few recovering addicts who got some principles in my square, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
They said meeting makers make it. Well, what the hell do meat makers make? Meetings. See, they told me when I got here, I need to get a sponsor and get some literature and fucking go to meetings and write on steps and, you know what I'm saying, and pray. They told me some basic stuff. And this is how I begin to form my relationship. You know what I'm saying? This is how I fucking got a sponsor. So I got a relationship with a sponsor. The most intimate relationship that I've ever had was with a sponsor. I done had one, two, three. Now, I'm on my third sponsor. So guess what? I know about commitment. I'm on my third sponsor. I've been committed to this program, you know what I'm saying, for 25 years with no breaks. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I ain't cheating on this program. You know what I'm talking about? So, in closing, because he just gave me the 2 minute, and hell, I was just warming up. Because guess what? Look, 10 months ago, she said she was leaving, and this is my romantic part. She said she was leaving, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, she said some stuff to me, and right out the gate, I said, you finna leave me, ain't you? The next week, nigga, I come home, she was gone. It hit me like a motherfucker. I damn near, you know, have you ever been hit in the stomach and you ain't got no air? I come in the house, I was like, after that right there, the thought of using, I was in the fetal position for damn near about 90 days. And guess what? Even with 25 years, the close lane clear, guess what I said when I went to a meet? Nigga, I feel like using. Guess what? I feel like using. They were looking at me like, I feel like using. And then my sponsor said, you remember the dope house? I said, yeah. He said, it ain't like you ain't never been alone before. And I was like, whoa. And it was like a joke when he said that. I was like, oh. He's like, you got some experience with being alone? The fuck is wrong with you, Carrie? Yeah, he hit me dead in the motherfucking gut. You know what I'm saying? All right. And check this out, y'all. And I'm going to read this and I'm going to sit down, you know. It says, each of our relationships teaches us how to make other relationships better, stronger, and more meaningful. If we stop and listen for the reasons, all of these relationships in return bring us back to our relationship with ourselves. We can't say that one is more important than the other, any more than we could say one side of the pyramid is more important than the next. In fact, the pyramid
that is in our symbol is made up of relationships with self, society, service, and God. Rooted in the base of goodwill, these are the relationships that bring us to the point of freedom. Our capacity to love grows in proportion to the effort we make to show love and our willingness to accept it. And with the capacity for love, something so many of us never even thought we wanted, we begin to feel that our lives have meaning and purpose. The harm we've done, the pain we suffered, the loss we've experienced, all deepen our compassion for others and our understanding of their struggles. Our real value is in being ourselves, not in spite of what we have been through, but because of it. I'm an addict named Carrie.